The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, where you can hear the latest news from NPR every hour throughout the day. And this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, November 10th, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later this hour, Jasper Logan in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. He'll talk to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. And it's our first, I think, rap battle in Ozarks at Large history. That's in the second half hour. First, let's wrap with Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics about some of the news of the week. He joins us from Fort Smith. Welcome back to the program, Michael.
Well, thanks. Just as long as I don't have to rap, we should be good.
All right. Well, I tell you what we can rap about, and that is some earning previews for Tyson Foods, which looks good for the company, if I'm reading them correctly.
Yes, very good. They report their full year. They're on a different calendar year, so they report their full year and fourth quarter earnings Monday morning. And the revenue is expected to be $494 million in the fourth quarter. More importantly, they could earn $1.9 billion for the full year, billion with a B, which would be a record earnings for the company. Last year, they earned just under $1.8 billion. And these are, of course, these estimates come from, I think, about 12 Wall Street analysts who follow the company. In the 2007, what's boosted the 2017 sales is about $1 billion that comes from the Advance Pierre acquisition that happened earlier this year. So, and now the one record they won't set, though, the revenue is expected to be about $38 billion. The record revenue that they posted was in fiscal 2015, $41.3 billion. That's when cow prices were through the roof. But it's going to be a good year for Tyson. Now it'll be interesting to see, you know, this coming up, this next year will be a full fiscal year for the new CEO, Tom Haines, who's made hell of a lot of changes at the company, laid off a lot of folks, serious, significant management changes. So this next year, which they set up pretty good guidance for the next year also, but it'll be, as with always with Tyson, it'll be worth watching.
I want to ask you about a surprising number that was on talkbusiness.net this week in an article written by Kim Souza about a meeting between some Canadian business folks and some Arkansas business folks. Let me just read the sentence. For Arkansas, Canada represents $1.2 billion annually in exported goods and another $179 million in services exported there. That's a big number that I didn't expect to see in that sentence.
Right, out of little old Arkansas. And so to your point, I'm glad you set it up like that. You know, when we talk about NAFTA, we've made it so political that we forget that it has real work, that these trade agreements, whether they're with Canada or Mexico or whatever, have real world implications. And often those implications may be with your neighbor, you know, down the street or across the road. One of the things that was very interesting is Kim Souza reported on this. We, you know, covered the meeting because there were these Canadian officials there to talk about trade. And that's in the story, and you mentioned some of the facts. It's important that we maintain those relationships as the Trump administration is renegotiating NAFTA. But there were three companies there, owners of three companies there, who received an export tax certification from the World Trade Center there in Rogers. And I thought, it really hit me, you know, often when we think about exports, we think about, you know, the big companies, Walmart and J.B. Hunt, how it impacts them, or Riceland Foods, you know, exporting rice or soybeans and those type of things. But there are these three small companies. There's Biotech Pharmacol, Rebecca Bennett and Valeria Zayats. I'm probably butchering that name. But they make dietary supplements and sell those in Canada, and they were there to get an export tax certificate. It helps them learn more about working in Canada and in Mexico. Mary and Chris Tedder of Van Buren, they own Klinger Holsters, which the couple said they sell pretty much direct to the consumer. They also sell a little bit on Walmart.com and eBay. It's all domestic, but they're wanting to get into the Canadian market. And then there was a brother and sister team, Woody and Helen Shire from Springdale. They make these collectible coins, and they're embossed and engraved with these Game of Thrones themes and Game of Thrones characters, which is pretty popular. And they're wanting to sell their coins abroad through distributors instead of just filling orders on their website. And so, you know, these are, I was really struck by this, Kyle, that hear people bump into it, you know, anywhere, at church or Walmart, whatever. And the export business is important to them. It's important to their life and important to their business success. And we should remember that when we want to talk politics about these trade agreements.
All right. Well, we're not going to export Michael Tilley to Canada, although they could listen to us up there on KUAF.com. You can read
probably
about
back, Kyle. It'd probably be an export violation of some sort.
We'll look into that. You can read about these stories and many others at talkbusiness.net. Beat LSU. Thank you, Michael.
All right. You're welcome.
President Trump in Asia stops in Vietnam. Is there a place for prayer after mass shootings? And the author of a blockbuster novel on the first Martian on his new book, Set on the Moon.
I wanted to write a story that took place in the first city that was not on Earth. I thought about Mars, I thought about low Earth orbit, but the moon is the obvious place to build it.
Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3. Last month on Ozarks, we spoke with Reveal journalist Amy Julia Harris and Shoshana Walter. Reveal is a radio program produced by the Center for Investigative Reporting, and it airs on KUAF Sunday afternoons at 2. Harris and Walter recently reported on drug rehab centers that use work as part of their treatment program. They began with CARE, or Christian Alcoholics and Addicts in Recovery, a program used in Oklahoma that works with Siloam Springs-based Simmons Food. Since then, Harris and Walter have updated that story with a report on another program called DARP, or Drug and Alcohol Recovery Program, which has locations in Decatur and Tahlequah, Oklahoma. They found that a company owned by Arkansas State Senate Majority Leader Jim Hendren had an agreement with DARP. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Harris and Walter about what they've found since their original report about CARE.
Since the last time we spoke, there's been a couple things that have happened. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's developed since the last time we spoke with these rehab work programs?
Sure. Basically, since we last talked, Zuzanna, two additional lawsuits have been filed against, one against the program that we heavily focused on in our first story, CARE, and also its predecessor program called DARP. DARP put court-ordered defendants to work, DARP put court-ordered defendants to work at Simmons Foods and also Hendren Plastics, which is owned by State Senator Jim Hendren.
In Arkansas, yeah.
In Arkansas.
The program that worked with Hendren Plastics, were there currently people working at Hendren Plastics, or was this a few years ago?
I think the relationship started a few years ago, and after our story came out, Hendren said that he was severing all ties with the rehab program. So I think that court-ordered defendants were working there currently or very recently.
Can you describe the situation at Hendren Plastics? How did it work similar to Simmons Foods, just a different industry?
Yeah, exactly. The way DARP works is they would send Hendren Plastics about 20 workers to the factory, and they were making dock floats and boat slips that are sold at Home Depot and Walmart. And they would typically work 40 hours a week or more, And then Hendren has said that he would pay, or his company would pay, the rehab program as though the employees were independent contractors. So the rehab DARP received all of the pay for that work, and the individuals working at the plant did not receive any pay.
So do you guys have any idea how much DARP was making?
What we do know is that DARP was keeping all of their pay. So it was $9.25 an hour for 20 people, and a variety of people go through the DARP program every year. And that was just for one company. They were also putting defendants to work at a furniture manufacturing plant and also at Simmons Foods. So they had a couple dozen people who were in the program at any given time who were all court-ordered, and DARP was keeping all of their money.
So once again, sort of a very similar model to CARE.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually the Raymond Jones, who was the founder of DARP, was a consultant for CARE and helped them set up the CARE program.
DARP used to actually be licensed as a halfway house in Arkansas, but their license was revoked after the program refused to pay workers minimum wage. So currently, courts are still sending defendants to DARP. It's often called a rehab facility, but it's actually not a licensed treatment facility. It's unlicensed, similar to CARE.
Is there a reason this is still happening, that even though it's unlicensed and their license was revoked, that their people are still being sent to this program?
So I think Arkansas has similar rules to Oklahoma, where written into the drug court law was that courts are only supposed to be sending defendants to licensed treatment facilities. And what we found in Oklahoma and Arkansas was just that courts are often sending defendants into these programs because there's a lack of affordable treatment options, and places like DARP and CARE market themselves as free for both taxpayers and for defendants who get sent into the program. So courts are finding that it's beneficial just because there are often massive waiting lists at the licensed facilities.
And is it similar to CARE, or what both of you found about CARE, that there's not a whole lot of oversight? Is that similar with DARP also?
Right. I mean, because DARP is unlicensed, there's no state agency that oversees it. There's no state agency that regulates it. There's really no one checking and making sure that the program is operating the way that it should, and that it's not abusing defendants who are sent to the program. And that's one thing that we heard time and again from defendants who were sent there when they were having major problems, like say they needed medical attention and they weren't getting it, or were really badly injured at work and didn't get medical attention. They were afraid of actually bringing complaints to the authorities because what they told us is that they were threatened with getting kicked out of the program. And if they got kicked out of the program, they were oftentimes sent to prison. So there really isn't an avenue for defendants who are sent to these programs to complain about them.
So Jim Hendren's company, Hendren Plastics, they severed all ties. How about these other businesses that are also bringing in these defendants to work for them for free? Have you guys heard anything from them?
Yes, we've heard from Simmons Foods. The company plans on defending themselves in court. They're still using the programs, as far as we know. Senator Hendren, as we said before, he says that he has stopped using the program at his company. But just recently, I believe yesterday it was, he filed a defamation suit against the lawyer who was suing on behalf of two former DARP participants, basically saying that it was factually inaccurate for his use of the DARP program to be called slavery, since he was paying DARP for the work. So there's now actually technically three lawsuits, if you include the one that Senator Hendren's company has filed against one of the lawyers suing him.
Jim Hendren released a statement regarding this report. Can you summarize it for us? What did he say?
Yeah, so he had said that he had initially partnered with the DARP program because he thought that it was a program that was used by the drug courts and was interested in helping these defendants get back on their feet by giving them a job. He thought he said that his company thought it was doing something positive by partnering with the DART program, and said that he wasn't aware of the specific arrangement that DARP had with participants to not pay them. And he said that his company was doing everything above board, was sort of treating DARP workers like independent contractors, and was paying $9.25 an hour to the rehab program for each of the workers, and also paying overtime.
So the more you've dug into this, is there any way to even keep track of these kinds of programs? It sounds like there's a lot of them, and the state isn't tracking them. And so is there any way to know?
There's no central repository for that to answer that question. What we've done is gone to individual courts to find out where courts are sending defendants for treatment. And I think that there are some characteristics that a lot of these programs share. You know, there's a big shortage in treatment options, affordable treatment options for people out there. So one of the characteristics that these programs share is that oftentimes they're free or much cheaper than typical certified treatment facilities. And the reason they're free is because defendants who are sent there have to work to pay for their stay. Not every program that operates like that is doing something wrong. But it's definitely something that warrants a closer look.
We've also found another thing for many of these programs, not all, but many of them are religious-based programs and sort of market themselves as self-supporting, which often means that work is required to pay for the program. And many of them are unlicensed and uncertified, so are not subject to government oversight.
Right. So I imagine it's hard to track how much treatment these people are, the defendants that are sent there, are actually receiving.
Yeah. Right. And you have to kind of, you know, since there are no inspections, there's no outside verification of what people tell you. So we've had to talk with dozens and dozens and dozens of participants to really get a sense of what's going on behind closed doors.
So just out of curiosity, just to give people a sense, how much legwork something like an investigation like this takes, can you guys quantify how many hours you've spent on it at all, or sort of what you've looked at so far? You've obviously interviewed a lot of people.
We've spent months and months talking to people who went through these programs and just identifying these programs by going through court dockets and just looking at online court records to see even where people are being sent, and then just backgrounding all of the companies and these programs specifically to find out how it all works. So we've talked to dozens of people from each of the programs. So we spent months and months and months just trying to verify basic facts to put all of this together.
Yeah, I would say probably total it took us about 7 months to really fully understand what these programs are, how they operate. In addition to talking to scores of former participants, we also talked to court staff, to licensed counselors, to former employees and staff members. And a lot of these people also were deeply concerned about what they were seeing in these programs.
And it sounds like you've looked through hundreds of pages of court documents.
Yeah.
Yes.
And lawsuits also helped shed some light on what was going on behind closed doors about how these programs even operated in the first place.
So there have been lawsuits filed before, or are these lawsuits that have been filed since the story, are these some of the first ones that have come up?
These were lawsuits that were filed in response to the stories that sort of explained the landscape of how these programs work and how they partner with these private companies. But in the course of our reporting, we had initially pieced together a series of different lawsuits that that were not alleging all of these things, but little bits and pieces that we sort of put together to figure out what was going on.
And there have you guys gotten any response from DARP about this latest report?
We talked to Raymond Jones, who heads DARP, who said that they're going to be defending themselves in court, and he didn't really respond more than that, aside from saying that their lawyers were going to be all over this thing, is what he said.
So I guess, and I don't know if you can respond to this question as journalists, I suppose, but, you know, Jim Hendren stepped away from this program. Is this sort of the goal, or is the goal to just take a second look at these programs?
You mean our goal, Susanna?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think we have a goal. I mean, I would not feel comfortable saying, you know, whether or not courts should be or businesses should be using these programs. But I think there hasn't been really any information out there about them for participants, family members, court systems, even lawmakers. So I think our goal mainly is to make sure everybody knows about what's really going on. And also, I think it's important to keep in mind, too, in recent years, criminal justice reform efforts have gained a lot of traction, and a lot of that has to do with reducing the incarceration of drug offenders and making sure that they have access to treatment so they can be rehabilitated. But there really hasn't been a big investment in treatment programs, and so the use of these programs is increasing. And so some of the things that we're seeing in these programs is a side effect of that.
Well, thank you for coming on the show again and speaking with us, giving us an update.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
That was Ozarks at Large's Susanna Sitek speaking with Reveal journalist Amy Julia Harris and Shoshana Walter. You can listen to Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting Sunday afternoons at 2 on 91.3.
91.3 is supported by the Walmart Museum, a family-friendly experience featuring interactive displays on the history of Walmart, Walton's Five and Dime, and the Spark Cafe Soda Fountain. Located on the square in downtown Bentonville, it's open daily until 9 p.m. Admission is free. 273-1329 or walmartmuseum.com. Additional support provided by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include American College of Radiology certified imaging departments, infusion centers, pharmacy, clinical trials, and more. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com. Circle of Life Hospice knows that every day can be challenging when loved ones are coping with a life-limiting illness. Since 2000, Circle of Life Hospice has assisted thousands of patients and their families with these challenges. Help is available at 800-495-5511 or online, nwacircleoflife.org.
An update now to a story that we aired earlier this week on Ozarks at Large. The mayor of Rogers is asking the city council to cancel Rogers' special election to annex about 4.5 square miles of unincorporated land between Highway 112 and Heifel. This comes after a judge dismissed a lawsuit filed by the city of Rogers against the city of Bentonville. The Rogers city attorney filed the lawsuit after the Bentonville City Council approved a voluntary annexation of several properties in the area Rogers had proposed to annex. The properties formed a row that cut through the center of the annexation area, which would complicate Rogers' plans. The Rogers City Council will meet at 1 o'clock this afternoon. The city of Cave Springs is also holding a special election to annex the same piece of land Rogers intended to annex. Those city council members say they will let the Bentonville annexation stand as is.
On this week's On the Media, does reporting the Paradise Papers, the massive trove of leaked financial records, require journalists to rank legality below morality?
It's a false dichotomy to be obsessed with legal versus illegal. They are creating victims all over the world.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Sunday morning beginning at 11 on 91.3. It's Friday, November 10th, 2017. This is Friday Ozarks at Large. Becca Martin Brown, who is the features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, is with me.
There's a smorgasbord of theater in Northwest Arkansas in the River Valley this weekend. It's my favorite thing, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Let's go.
Avenue Q.
Tony Winter.
At University Theater.
It's
puppets.
And it's funny, and it's not for all ages.
It's puppets that look like they might be comfortable on a certain street with a big bird, but these are puppets with adult issues.
Yes.
The opening song includes the lyrics, "It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning three, it sucks to be me." Morgan Hicks is directing it for the University Theater and is directing both the 11 actors and the 11 puppet actors because the puppets have their own lives, you know, and the actors aren't hidden like some puppeteers are. It's a great show, but you don't take your little kids who are used to that other street. And,
right.
No. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 and 7:30 on Sunday. Again, November 15th through 17th. Take note, they skipped the 18th because of football. And come back for a final show on the 19th, University Theater in Fayetteville. Adults are $20. A very different kind of theater happening in Evergreen Cemetery.
Oh, yeah. History coming alive.
This is Artist Laboratory Theater, who does things in tents and
on the street.
On the street. And one of my favorite shows I ever saw happened on a street with them. This is a theatrical experience talking to people like Archibald Yell and Roberta Fulbright and William McElroy and Leslie Stringfellow. That ought to be quite the conversation. And Lafayette Gregg.
All residents of Evergreen Cemetery.
Yes, one might say. And part of the plan is that they're raising money to help restore Archibald Yell's monument.
Evergreen Cemetery is in kind of the middle of downtown Fayetteville, or at least it used to be in the middle of Fayetteville, depending on how geography works. And Archibald Yell was one of the first governors of Arkansas and is buried there.
So this will be so much fun. It happens at 2 o'clock Saturday and 2 o'clock Sunday at Evergreen Cemetery, and tickets are $10. Also in theater, Footloose.
The musical, the 1980s original movie musical.
The first show of a new company called Pilot Arts, founded by Missy Gibson. 7 o'clock today, 2 and 7 on Saturday. That's the end. Crap's Last Tape.
And this is Brecht?
No, and I've just lost the name of the playwright.
Not Bertolt Brecht, but...
No.
Another absurdist.
We'll come back to it. It is an absurdist. It's presented by Block Street Theater Company, starring the inimitable Bill Rogers. 7:30 today through Sunday at the Nines on Center Street. Tiny audience. 24 people, I
think. I was going to say, a couple of dozen.
Yeah. Tickets are $10 to $15. The Odd Couple is happening in Fort Smith at Fort Smith Little Theater. It's the female version. It's a great show, and you'll laugh a lot. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 on Sunday, and again next weekend if you're doing your planning. $12. Last weekend for Everyday a Visitor. First time this show's been done, not just in Arkansas, but in Middle America, as best we know. It's a story set in the Schwabacher Home for the Aged in the Bronx. And it's people that you know and love on stage, like Ed McClure and Kathy McClure. You will laugh a lot at it, too. 8 o'clock today and Saturday, 2 on Sunday, final weekend at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers. Tickets start at $22.50. And the Fall Performance Series, 6 original 10-minute plays presented by the Five and Dime Drama Collective, is Saturday and Sunday.
Wow.
8 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday at the Main Stage Creative Community Center in Eureka Springs. Tickets are $10. This is why I didn't try to do an itinerary.
I gotcha.
You got to figure this one out yourself.
All right, Samuel Beckett.
Beckett, thank you.
Yes.
I knew it would come to one of us.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
That's guitarist Pat Martino. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz, every Friday night from 10 till midnight and Saturday morning from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. on KUAF HD3. We'll hear more from Pat Martino along with Kenny Barron, Benny Green, Miles Davis, and much more. Join me for Shades of Jazz here on KUAF.
It's time for Katie Hendrickson, the host of Note with Katie Hendrickson on 91.3, to tell us what we're going to hear next week beginning Sunday night at 8. How are you?
I am pretty exhausted right now, but I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. It's allowed to be, you're allowed to be exhausted on Friday.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Does this exhaust you more to talk about what's next week then?
No, it's great. I love the opportunity to let listeners know what they can expect.
Yes.
I've programmed a really amazing symphonic work. It's actually, I have a really vivid memory of this piece. It's Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a symphonic poem. He's like so great with orchestral color, Russian composer, and it's about the Arabian Nights. It always makes me think of my mother. She loved to listen to this piece. So whenever I hear it, it just immediately, I'm like transported to like my house with my mom and hearing this music.
It's funny you bring that up because it makes me think of being a kid.
Yeah.
Not necessarily specifically anything, but I think it's one of the first classical music pieces I heard and really attached myself to because it's so lively.
Right. And there's it's mystical and it's a fairy tale like thing. So it's like there's this sense of wonder and awe that goes throughout the piece. So and it's a musical journey that really, I mean, it's just so you get swept up in it. I believe it's in weird movement structures, too. I'm going to actually look. It's actually only in four movements, but it seems different. And it's got titles like The Sea and Sinbad's Ship and The Tale of the Calendar Prince, The Young Prince and the Young Princess, The Sea, The Ship Goes to Pieces on a Rock Surmounted by a Bronze Warrior. So it's very descriptive.
And yeah, that's cool stuff.
So that's what you can expect on the Sunday Symphony. And I love, that's another thing. I mean, the opportunity to bring full symphonic works without interruption is just so awesome. Yeah. And I get to do sometimes 2-3 symphonies in one show. So
there
I
you
love
go.
That.
So that's Sunday night at 8.
And all week long, we will be turning to a harp player who actually grew up just around the corner in Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Oh, cool.
Her name's Yolanda Kondonassis, and she performs a lot. I actually interviewed her maybe a year ago about an album. She performed the Ginastera Harp Concerto, and she said that she realized that that's when she realized that she could be a harp player because she grew up, her mom was a piano teacher. She grew up playing piano. She said self-professed tomboy, and she thought the harp was too delicate and dainty and girly for her, and then she found this concerto, and she's like, oh, this is how I can do harp. And she became a really well-known harp player. She works with the guitar player Jason Vio a lot, and I play her a lot on my show. But I found I was in the Malcolm Hayward Music Library, and I found this album. It's an older album of hers. It's called Pictures of a Floating World. It's lots of smaller pieces, little pieces from Debussy and then people like Jacques Ibert. They're all 5 to 8 minute pieces. And so it's a miniature exploration of her performing harp. So look for that all week long and of note.
All right. Of note, Sunday through Thursday nights, 8 to 10. Of note with Katie Henderson. Katie, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Get some rest.
Okay.
All right.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The Theater Squared Gala is set for November 16th at 6 p.m. at the Fayetteville Town Center, supporting education and access programs for 25,000 Arkansans. This year, the gala features singer and actor Liz Calloway, a Tony nominee and Emmy winner, in a cabaret performance, plus the presentation of the Arts Advocate Award to Nick and Carolyn Cole. Tickets, tables, and information at 445-6333 or theater2.org.
Excellent. You're listening to Black Excellence by local rapper Jasper Logan. After winning the 2016 edition of the Alchemy Songwriting Competition, Jasper flew to Los Angeles to record the song as part of the grand prize. The track is one of 11 included on his latest album, Success, which is being released today. He'll celebrate tonight at Stage 18 with a hip-hop show that will feature other performers, including Jeremiah Pickett. Earlier this week, Jasper and Jeremiah came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Jasper began the conversation by discussing the origins of his latest project.
Right around the same time I was working on the previous album, The Prelude, I basically made The Prelude, and then I started making these new songs like Black Excellence and then like Lights and some other songs that'll be on the album. And that just initially I wanted to put them all in a prelude, and I was like, but they sound too completely different. And so the idea and the concept for the album kind of grew over time, probably over the span of like maybe a year, honestly. And it wasn't until recently, maybe like in March, where I was like able to actually like say this is what this album is about. And mainly, I knew I wanted it to be about success. And just because, I mean, we were talking about age just now, like I'm 26, he's 24. Like when you, the older you get, the more you start feeling this need to like, you know, accomplish and like the more you need to like be successful. And then that pressure gets added on when you add in different things like, you know, okay, now I have a family. Okay, now I'm, you know, and also like I'm African American. And so there's you just get more and more pressures that all play into this idea of success. And so for me, it was like trying to figure out like this. And if you listen to the album, it's like really this journey of like trying to figure out what success is actually in, you know. And it's not till the very end of the album that you get this idea that success is in creating and achieving those goals and not listening to like, you know, outside pressures and things like that that tell you like, oh, you're not successful until you win a Grammy, or mm-hmm. you're not successful until you do this. It's like, no, I'm successful if I make a goal that says I'm gonna sell 10 albums and I sell those 10 albums, then I'm successful. Like, and I should feel every bit of success that comes with that, because I set my goal and I achieved it.
And so how did you get involved with the project?
It really kind of goes back. I met Jasper a year ago, a little bit over a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And ever since first meeting him, I knew him for probably 6 months before I knew he did music. And that was interesting because, I mean, we were in pretty close fellowship. Like, I saw him a lot, and that just never came up until one day. And he's just such a humble guy. He never really likes to brag, but one day in casual conversation, he's like, yeah, I won the songwriting competition and I went to California. And I'm like, wait, rewind. And he tried to skip over. I'm like, nah, rewind it, go back. Like, what do you mean? And so that just kind of sparked some different conversations. And I told him that, you know, music is one of my passions. And I mean, for a little bit different than traditional music, very specific in the regard where I feel, you know, compelled to speak on behalf of those who might not have a voice and personal experiences. But so he saw that, and since then he's just kind of been like pouring into it, like, hey, come record in my house, you know. And I just finished up my project. It's called What You Want Me to Say, and it came out, I guess technically on my birthday, November 2nd. We're still like waiting to get everything finalized and put on like iTunes and
sure.
stuff. But so yeah, he helped me record it and linked me with the producer who made every single beat for the project and the audio engineer who worked meticulously and tediously on every single thing. And he was just the kind of the bridge there and the support behind it all. So he really took me under his wing, and like, I don't know, it's crazy to think that somebody can really be in this day and age, like really be as passionate about what you're doing as what they're doing, you know. And I mean, it's just great. So that's kind of how I got in the loop. And yeah, we're here.
He's going to be performing with me this Friday
with you
at the release party. And so,
okay. Mm-hmm. So what, you guys have a song you've worked out together, or
no? He'll have his own set.
He has
his own set. Yeah, I know.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and it is exciting for multiple reasons. A, like, had I not really linked up with him, I don't know that I would have sought to do that myself. Not out of fear or anything, just because that's not necessarily a desire of mine to be this big name rapper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm much more comfortable with sharing my thoughts with amongst family and friends and just doing that and letting that. But Jasper's like, you know, no, you know, come do this. And I'm like, you know, so it's really cool. And I mean, I welcome the eustress, the positive push, and it'll be fun. So,
and it's your first show.
It's my very first show. He gave me 20 minutes. I don't know what I'm 20 minutes, that's a long time either. It's gonna be great, or it's gonna be like, why did I give dude so long to just, you know. So.
It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great.
Wait till you hear him rap. It's gonna be great.
It's all gonna be great. So. Let's talk for a minute about success with hip hop in Northwest Arkansas. When you came in the summer of 2016, we were chatting and you were talking about an album that you'd released 3 years earlier, and uh-huh. you were kind of new to trying to find places to play here because the scene wasn't that big.
Yeah, yeah.
A year and a half later, I've got two guys in front of me releasing albums.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, is it growing? What is the state of hip-hop here in Northwest Arkansas?
I don't even want to say it's growing, because I want to say it's been there, and we just haven't been able to tap into it, you know. And honestly, it's just through like meeting more people, like Michael Day. He's going to be rapping on the show. He's going to be performing at the show too. He's another local artist. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of local artists that the hip hop scene within Fayetteville is very rich, I'd say, and it's very diverse too. Like you'll have rappers who rap, you know, like you know JP and I, and then you know there's a different side as well. But I'd say it's very much so present and rich, and I think people just need to like open up and like you know let it. I don't know. I think people just need to like open up more to it and see. But it is there. It is present, and it is very rich, I'd say.
I think he's, I mean, like nail on the head. And with artists that are trying to push boundaries and kind of push the envelope, then you kind of make that cream rise. Like you just said, it's the presence has been here, but now it's like, okay, you know, hey, we really here. And let's figure out how to work amongst one another to like really help, you know, push this thing even further to the top. I think we just got our first hip hop station here in Northwest Arkansas. Yep. Like, really recently, like just happened, mm-hmm. you know, and people here, I mean, just like anywhere else, like they love popular culture, they love rap, they listen to the Migos, they like, you know, all these different, like they like this stuff here, you know, and I think it's up to us and local artists to continue to like cultivate that, but also say, hey, you know, you don't have to go to New York to get some great music, like, you know, it's tons of dope artists here in your backyard that would love to, you know, perform at this venue, or even more than that, would love for you to give their stuff a try and listen to it for yourself. So, I mean, even since I've been here, I think I came to school in 2012, so like 5 years since I've been here, I've seen it grow. And it's definitely like anything gradual, right? Nothing happens overnight. But like, I know that just in the short time I've been here, I'm seeing like the stones be put in place and the building blocks.
And your project also has a documentary element to it. Mm-hmm.
The documentary is basically us going around to different places and saying, hey, what does success look like to you? So the first portion of it is with a girl named Cece, who who runs a dance studio up in Bentonville. And then we went to another two guys that run a recording studio on the south side of town, Cash and Demetrius, and built this crazy studio by themselves. I mean, you know, and I think they might be younger than me, maybe 24, 25, something like that. But they've built this studio where not only they have, and they're working on like adding another booth within their studio. And so you get to kind of see like success in different areas, but also you get to see it in a sense where it's like, it's not in this certain route. Like, you know, I don't have to be a rapper or a basketball player or whatever to be successful. Like, I can teach dance. And even if I want to teach dance, I don't have to go the route that they told me I have to go. Like, I can take whatever route that works best for me and the goals that I create.
So we've got a documentary. We've got a new album. We've got a show Friday at Stage 18. So lots happening.
I know.
And you can keep up with all of that at jasperlogan.com.
Jasperlogan.com. Yep. And then or any social media is just Jasper Logan Raps. So.
Well, thank you guys for coming in. Could we hear something before you head out?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Absolutely, you can hear something. Not exactly what we expected. The message, I'm not in charge here. Blessings to the home team. I told them this was our year. Now that we ignited, folks excited like we all here. I don't do no fronting. I confront them like how y'all here. Okay, okay, okay. So now we all clear. TB to Tuskegee Airmen. We all steer. Ain't no time to play as your last day draw near. Hit your soul bank. Deposit faith and withdraw fear. We done lost so many soldiers. I can't count up all tears. I can't count up all time. They gave my bros 100 years. I don't care about what you heard. You acting like it's something serious. Miss me with that rah-rah. Ain't no motion. It ain't nothing serious. Look, you could hear this pain when I sang, but it's hard to complain because I'm here and I'm still fighting. Everything I do for you, this is real life. And I know that I'm not alone. Sometimes it just feels like it. Mama call me baby boy. And I'm my daddy's oldest son. I've been praying to the Lord, yeah. Make me like your holy son. I can't be the only one. If I got it, then it's yours. I promise you don't owe me nothing. We don't pay no attention to them other. Mm-hmm. Promise that they only front.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey.
And does that
need
that
say more?
No, that was plenty. Does that have a name?
That's called Only One. It's on What You Want Me to Say, and I'm telling you, like, it's I'm excited about it. I'm proud of it, and I would love for y'all to check it out.
Okay, Jasper, what do you got for me?
Yeah. Nah, man, the whole game messed up. Selling million records by Alexis. Got to flex up. Got my stress up. 12 got me paranoid. I might go invest in a vest. What? They expect us coming all out with the techs up. That's why they ready to arrest us. But just because we black, that don't mean we act ignorant. Just because I rap, that don't mean I'm strapped, chipping. Living through the rhymes, man, time to start living. What's the point of listening if you never go and get it? Don't just play it if you getting higher, getting faded. This that get inspired, get on fire, get creative. Get a 9-to-5 just to make it till you make it. Ain't no shame in living if your style ain't the latest. Brothers on the come up rocking shoes from the palest till they get their second job out of college and they major. Now they making 6 figures because they buckled down and waited. Everything ain't complicated. They don't want us out here saying. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to know that brothers graduated from Mizzou. They just want us in the noose. I be Hussein Bolt and I be running up the loose. Rocky running up the stands. I ain't looking for a truce. You should know who got the juice. You should know who did it right. And no ghosts in the quotes. Everything is mine.
He really just bodied me just now. Can I rap again?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sure can.
Can I go?
Oh, you really about to rap again?
I'm about to, bro, you not finna just do me like that? Like, no. I got a song called Scheming. And it's almost like that. It's just no chorus, no nothing. For 4 minutes, it's just an all-out assault talking about how, you know, you come from humble beginnings and you hope that someday you might be able to achieve, like he was saying, I mean, success. And when you live, you know, in poverty, a lot of times success is kind of warped a little bit to think like, if I get this big check, then, you know, and I know money doesn't buy happiness, but I feel like it can do a lot for us. Like, it'll keep, you know, bill collectors from calling my phone every day. You know, so that's the concept of this song. But I just say, lately y'all been low-key scheming on this high-class dreaming. Turn my pennies to plenty, now all my partners is feasting. If I said it, I mean it. That's why they trust and believe it. It wasn't a pot we could pee in. Now ain't no place we can't be in. Told my mama I'm grinding. I guess she finally believed me. Just been working so heavy, I probably make it look easy. When you live in your vision, most people probably can't see it. So you just stay close to Jesus and stay away from them demons. I'm trying to run a checkup like a pharmacist. Whew. Touching faces like a dermatologist. The dream work with teamwork is obvious. So when I talk about the team, I mean all of us who used to run the streets till we got toe up. All we want to do is shine. Now we all glowed up. Look, I remember when the block got sold up. So I can't trust anybody I ain't watched grow up. I'm on the freeway saying, put this beat on. Kicking game to make the players want to put their cleats on. I got the flow and I ain't talking what we used to sleep on. It's crazy, I ain't never been the one nobody sleep on. Back when Missy had my city trying to get their freak on, I was freaking with my scheming trying to get my team on. We would tell them about the dream, they would tell us dream on. Now from this point forward, I'm the same as Draymond. They saying bang, keep going. Rats, roaches, and ramen noodles, you know the usual. Microwave or the stove work, whatever suits you. I always knew when my mama was grinding. God was good with his timing, but that pressure made diamonds. Look, I got cousins still thugging, I'm the chill one. I ain't never watch Empire. I'm trying to build one. My little brother in the cage. We barely talking. He say long as God got his way, he gonna keep walking. And I know times is hard and your squad gotta eat. So this a little knowledge if you still in the streets. I'd rather you flip a burger and go serve it with fries than for you to flip a pack and now you serving some time. I left the crib at 18. I just thought it was time. Young boy with a dream just beginning my prime. Fast forward 4 years. Now I feel like LeBron. Throw the powder in the air, clap, clap, and it's on. But you get clapped like an applause if your business ain't mine. I'm just minding my business. I got a sister and mom. I got some brothers in college that really need me to shine. A couple kids call me daddy like they don't know they not mine. Well, I've been all over the grind. I can't front the fam no more. If you don't get the picture, I ain't on the gram no more. Senior year in high school, I wanted diamonds on my neck. Senior year in college, I need mama out of debt. See, we came from the soil where the block used to boil. Cups full of oil and the mouse full of foil. We was riding in the crown, same color crown royal. Before Chris Brown told y'all these folks wasn't loyal. My uncle used to work from home selling work.
Hey! Hey! Now I feel like I got around.
Right, I couldn't let you win. Right,
that's now. Crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
He told me a story about Kobe Bryant and how it was a joke because me and one of my buddies went to the studio and we laid some stuff down and he the whole time we just kind of sitting playing in the background just kind of nodding his head to some stuff, giving a little feedback. And right before we left, he said, "I'm gonna tell you guys a story about Kobe." He said, there was a guy who came in the gym, and he noticed that whenever he came and left, Kobe was there upon arriving, and he stayed later than him. So when we left, he was telling us that basically he was going to pull a Kobe Bryant and work harder than what we did. So since then, I can't, if it's within my control, I don't want him now, dude.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Now I feel like I got to. Now I got to pull a Kobe or something, man. Look, okay. Yeah. These are conversations I hope we never have. I was hoping you'd tell me how long forever lasts. Never thought that I'd ever be just part of my past. Honestly, I never thought that I let off the gas. Greatest, latest names written all in the pavement. Part of me just wants to see how far I could take it. Maybe the ride is over. Maybe my car the station. Maybe I'm Neo and the Oracle wasn't mistaken. Finally catching a wave, took a while to embrace it. I just rocked Georgia's. How's that for a statement? Still a long way to go, but just wait on the glow. I made music for dreamers and it weigh on your soul. Cause it weigh on mine. I'm only chasing time. Know it's impossible, but please indulge me this time. Maybe I'll come up short and find what I always wanted. You know that feeling, but you still can't get a finger on it. I ride around through the city hoping to find a place. I stay up writing rhymes hoping somehow it pays, hoping somehow it change, hoping it's worth the pain, hoping I make it, only just to hope that it stays. Laugh out loud, I used to see laughs in the crowd. Now they say like I'm the greatest they seen in a while, or somehow a younger version of themselves who wasn't tainted by life and just really did what he felt, man. I have yet to find that version of me. I chop the beat up like a surgeon, tell me what do you see. I write these verses like a sermon, I got something to preach, but either way I'm here to say and neither version is free. This is J.R. Day, Hamilton, Broadway, a must-see. Y'all rusty, trust me, y'all lucky. If ever the cards fall and the pressure start to crush me, but I don't drink soda. Tried to can my dreams, so I shook them and popped on them. Now I'm getting spins like I'm spinning the locks on them. Jada Kiss flow the way I got the locks on them. Man, don't try it. I cross and multiply it. The 3 turning to 9, and this is for the hip-hop heads, not for the second waivers. Just so you know, the flow is what really made us. Back when we was making gospel and they wouldn't play us until Chance dropped, but now they understand the nature. I understand you too afraid to go embrace the truth. Half of y'all are too afraid to go embrace you. None of my business. Lord is still my witness. And never you forget that I'm destined to go and get this. I hope they listen to this and they feel threatened. This that kill set and flip the switch on the flow and watch the feel set in. Any other vibe ain't alive. Only real music survive. Done.
That was Jasper Logan and Jeremiah Pickett speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio earlier this week. Jasper Logan's latest album is available today. Tonight's release party at Stage 18 begins at 7. More information available at jasperlogan.com.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. I've got an interview with Bob Margolin. He's playing in Fayetteville at the Sunrise Stage, Saturday, November 18th. OzarkBluesSociety.org for tickets. I'll be playing some music from Bob, Muddy Waters, Pine Top Perkins, The Rolling Stones, and maybe a few others. Again, that's the Generic Blues Show, Friday nights on KUAF.
The Fayetteville Cares Food Drive, sponsored by the Fayetteville High School Student Council, runs through Wednesday, November 15th. All items donated will be used by the Outback Program, benefiting Fayetteville High School students and their families. You can bring your donation to any FPS school. For suggested items, you can search Facebook for Fayetteville Public Schools Outback. The National Park Service is sponsoring an encore performance of Still a River, the folk duo Still in the Hills celebration of the Buffalo River in song. The concert will take place at the historic Ouachita Little Theater in Mena Sunday afternoon, November 19th. That's a week from this Sunday. It will begin at 2:30 that afternoon. It's free, and even better, the first 100 people to arrive will receive a free Still a River compact disc as well. For more, ouachitalittletheater.org. And the Rogers Historical Museum will host its annual holiday open house December 2nd. This year's theme, Rogers Christmas, and the free event features guided tours of the 1895 Hawkins House featuring the history of Christmas traditions in Rogers. Want to know more? RogersHistoricalMuseum.org. A service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Rogers. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Back with you Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large and all new editions of Ozarks at noon and 7 next week. Thanks so much. Have a safe weekend.